Good morning and welcome to the Celebration of Joy worship service. A reminder to everyone that no matter who you are and no matter what is happening on your journey of life, it is God who welcomes you here today, and so do we. We are very, very glad that you are here. We want to invite everyone to take a moment and fill out one of the welcome cards. You'll find them in the pew racks ahead of you or around you. We invite everyone, visitors and members and kids and teens, to take a moment and fill those out. And Pastor David and I will pray for you by name following the service. If you have a special prayer request, whatever that may be, please include it on the card, and we will include you in our prayer ministries as you would like to be included. Well, before we go forward with our sending of our kids, we want to invite two of our middle school students, our confirmation students, to come up and give a moment for mission. And can we just take a moment and just welcome Nick Gustin back? We are so glad that you're here. Welcome back. After being deployed in, where was it exactly, or can't you tell us? Persian Gulf for how many months? To 10 months, it was supposed to be 7. So we and your family are so happy that you're here. We've been praying for you, and welcome home. Welcome home. Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the last Sunday before the 54th Super Bowl. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling pretty excited about the game. However, I'm not here to talk about football. We're here to talk about the Super Bowl. The church will be working with local agencies to help people in need. These people include the food insecure and the homeless.
Our goal is to help them find the resources they need to move forward. How you can help? You can help by donating supplies or volunteering. If you want to donate supplies, we would greatly appreciate the following. Any gently used clothing, including jackets and coats, blankets, backpacks, underwear, men or women's, new only, can openers, any hygiene items, shaving cream, feminine supplies, band-aids, soap, etc. Grocery bags, toilet paper, jam, not jelly, canned spaghetti sauce, and cereal.
Volunteers also needed at the pantry. You can help on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays from 10:30 to 12:30. Contact Jill Adachi for more information.
Done in years past, we will have our Super Bowl canned food drive and other things, so we look forward to surrounding our altar next week with all sorts of things that will be going to the All Saints Food Pantry, a place that this congregation has been in support of for many years now. So please take a look at the list, bring that with you, shop around, and bring those things in, and we will be able to help members of our community that way. Well, there are many ways to grow in discipleship and fellowship in this congregation. Today, immediately following this service, there will be the Parenting and Faith Bible Study Group in the conference room led by Carrie. Okay, so that's once a month, opportunity to study scripture, support one another, pray for one another as you raise your kids in the faith. So invite you to that. Looking forward to a couple of events. If you are able to come, women, to the women's retreat, today is the day to start to pay that and make sure we've got your registration. And looking ahead on February 9th, make sure you remember we have one service at 10 o'clock, everyone here together. After that, we will have a luncheon and our annual meeting, second of the annual meetings. So please be a part of that. There will be childcare provided. It's a wonderful event to find out what's been happening and where we're going in the congregation and make decisions as a group. So please be here on the 9th at 10 o'clock. Information in here as well about some adjustments to my schedule. So if you'd like to take a look at that, any questions, of course, can come immediately to me.
Let us pray. Lord God, we come here today to worship you, to open our ears to your word and our hearts to your love. Yet, as we come, we may be surprised as you show up and issue a call to us to follow you. Be with us in our worship. Be with us day by day as we seek to follow the one who knows the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our gospel today is from the gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. When I was in college, I remember a day that I had gone home to Yucaipa Faith Lutheran Church, to my home congregation, for worship. And I was being engaged in conversation by one of the members. It was Gus Gulseth, a wise man. You would call him the wise man of the village. He was in his late 80s. He had been a missionary, first in China before the communists took over China, and later in Liberia. He was a doctor. He was a medical missionary along with his wife, Elsie. They were gentle, loving people. And he was talking to me about my experiences in school, University of Redlands. We chatted about that for a moment. And then he said this. He said, "Oh, this being a Christian, it's really something, isn't it? Being a follower of Jesus." And what I remember on this day as he spoke that question to me or made that statement is the awe in his voice and the wonder in his eyes. I could sense it, that he knew something that I hadn't learned yet. So I said, "Yes." You know, what else can I say? There's this nice, kind Dr. Gulseth, and anyway, my dad was a pastor, so what do you expect me to say? Of course. It's really something to follow Jesus, but you know what? I really didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't really know what to say either. This Jesus, I follow this one. Who was I anyway? I was 18 years old. And I still felt like I hadn't lived enough. I hadn't experienced life, if you know what I mean. I hadn't done all the fun stuff yet. And the fun stuff that I assumed a follower of Jesus wasn't supposed to do. And I knew something about myself. I knew that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't holy enough to follow this Jesus. I don't know. Was it something? Oh, I want to walk in the light of God. I want to follow this Jesus, but have you ever felt that way yourself? If I follow Jesus, what will that mean? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Do I really want to follow Jesus? If I do, what in the world am I getting myself into? It happened to two fishermen. Two brothers, Peter and Andrew, minding their business. They were doing their business. They were mending their nets. They were fishermen. Their work, their careers, their vocations. And someone comes along with the invitation, "Follow me." And Jesus says, "I'll make you fishers for people." Imagine that. It's crazy stuff. But what Matthew tells us next is even more crazy. They answer this invitation. They get up and they go and they left their nets behind. And they follow this Jesus. Crazy stuff. This one that Matthew tells us comes on the scene in the land of Zebulun, of all places, and coming to a place called Naphtali. I mean, it means nothing to us, right? Let's pause for a moment. When Matthew tells us that Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, he was making a statement there. Because 700 years ago, those were places that were conquered by the Assyrians. And for 700 years, nothing good had really happened there for people of Israel. And those tribes hadn't been on the lips for God's people for such a long time. They were conquered people. It was a shame. It was despair, hopelessness. They were living in darkness. Have you ever visited that place? But now Matthew hints that things are going to change. Because of these words spoken so long ago by the preacher Isaiah, they're now being made full in this land by the sea, Zebulun, Naphtali, on the shores of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And for those that dwell in the land of death, light has dawned. Just mentioning these tribes to Matthew's audience meant that God is doing a new thing, making good on God's promises. So it's in conquered territory, in Gentile territory, after all, not the land simply of chosen people that Jesus comes on the scene. It's not up or down in Jerusalem, or it's not in the place of the religious power or the political power, but it's the light shining in this place of all places. Crazy stuff. It's an epiphany. The light shines. Like those wise men following the star, and the foreigners start worshiping the Christ child. And these two ragtag fishermen leave their nets and they follow Jesus. But there are more. James and John, too, they are in the boat with their dad Zebedee, and they leave their dad, the family business, behind. It's crazy stuff. It gets wilder. Because Jesus goes, Matthew says, throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And this was a mixed area of Jews and Gentiles. And he cured every disease and every sickness among the people. And we stopped with verse 23 in Matthew, but let me read on. Verse 24 gets better. So Jesus' fame spread throughout all Syria. Do you hear that? Syria. They hated the Syrians. And they brought to him, Syrians brought to him all the sick who were afflicted with diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. Wow. Now that's something, following this Jesus. What have his disciples gotten themselves into? Even their enemies, the Syrians, are included by Jesus. Think of that, other races and other religions too. Even people with various physical abilities are followers now. In a day that it was assumed if you had one of these afflictions, either you or your parents had done something to deserve it. The net that Jesus casts is wildly inclusive. This wonderful, diverse community, the good and the bad and the poor and the rich. Jesus includes all into God's circle of gentle grace. Where are we headed with all this stuff? What in the world are we getting into? Do you want to follow Jesus? I do, but do you? I think you do. I don't know why in the world you come here otherwise on a Sunday morning. You've got better things to do. But even today as I come here, sometimes I really just feel like that 18-year-old kid. Asking myself, what in the world am I getting into? Because it's too hard. Last Tuesday at our council meeting, we reflected on this gospel passage, and I asked the group, do you think these followers of Jesus really knew what they were getting into? And they said, absolutely not. You know, it's an easy question, easy answer, I guess. And then we talked about a new year. We have several new council members and who have answered the call to share their gifts along with other council members who are continuing for the sake of San Marcos Lutheran's mission and ministry. Do we know what we're getting into? What's ahead? The people in Jesus' day did not know. Life was harsh. They lived under the oppression, not of Syria, but of Rome. The economy was wretched for common people of Galilee. The gap between the rich and the poor was wider than ever before. For Galileans and for Matthew's congregation, life was dismal. It was hell. It was dark. So here comes Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. And as he walks by the Sea of Galilee, he saw those brothers, Simon and Peter and Andrew and his other brother, casting nets in the sea, and he said, "Follow me, you fishermen, I'll make you fish for people." And they left and they followed. Now note this, Jesus begins his ministry with a joke. And it's a corny joke, it's a bad joke. He tells fishermen, "Follow me and I'll make you fish for men." It's a pun, the kind that my daughters would roll their eyes and say, "Dad." It's a funny thing in a way, but you know, the point is Jesus comes on the scene and he starts conversation with people that fished. Fishing is what they knew. It was in their blood. It was what they did, and that was what they did best. Jesus starts right where they are. He begins right where they are. Not with what he knows best, but what they know best. And he meets them there. And then miracles happen. They go without having it all figured out. They just follow without knowing where Jesus is leading them. They follow without knowing what in the world they're getting into. They follow Jesus. These first disciples follow not because they were so good, but because God is so good. This God who meets us right where we are and leads us to become what God wants us to be. The gospel texts we read Sunday after Sunday are written for a community of believers that's committed to both knowing and following Jesus. One of the things that I came to discover many years after my conversation with Dr. Golseth, and it's so amazing, you may have this thing too, that you can remember these conversations you had in college with people. I remember where I was standing on the patio. I remember how the sun was coming up and hitting us on that February day. I can't remember what I had for breakfast today. One of the things I came to discover after that conversation is that to know Jesus means that you have to follow Jesus. There's no other way to do it. So the important question for us isn't simply who is Jesus, but will I follow the one who knows the way? Will I follow the summons of the one who is the way and the truth and the life? One of my very favorite texts, another text that has haunted me for many years, was written by Albert Schweitzer, and it makes reference to the calling of the disciples. The disciples are out fishing, and Jesus shows up with this invitation, "Follow me." Take a look. We printed it in your program right after the sermon title. Some have said that this paragraph penned by Schweitzer is the most important statement of a theologian in the last 100 years. You might have heard of Albert Schweitzer and know him as a humanitarian, and he spent most of his life in Africa in his clinic as a humanitarian, but there's more to his story. Because as a young man, first, Albert Schweitzer was an amazing musician. He was an organist, very accomplished. Later, he became a medical doctor, but he was also a brilliant theologian. Schweitzer spends years writing this book titled In Search of the Historical Jesus, trying to go back in history 2,000 years and find out exactly who the historical Jesus really was like. Get back to the facts. And as he completes his book, Schweitzer has this epiphany. We human beings may try as hard as we can to search for Jesus, but ultimately, it's the living Christ who comes and finds us. Jesus comes to us right where we are, right where we live right now, and calls us to follow God who will lead the way. Schweitzer writes these final words to his book as he sails to Labourdin, Gabon, where he'll live out the rest of his years in his clinic doing medical work with God's children in Africa. He comes to us as one unknown, without a name, as of old by the lakeside. He came to those who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, "Follow me." and sets us to the task which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, in the conflicts, the sufferings which they shall pass through in his fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. I didn't get it 43 years ago when Dr. Golseth made that statement, asked me that question, an 18-year-old college freshman. But I can't get it out of my mind. And yet, as I tried to follow Jesus best as I can over these years, I'm continually surprised as the ways that God keeps coming to me, to us. The living Christ keeps showing up, surprising me in the everyday stuff of life, in my role as a pastor working with people, or in my role as a grandpa working or playing with Oscar. In the everyday stuff of living and loving, being open to new people, Christ keeps showing up, coming in the midst of my struggles and my doubts and my grief and my pain. Christ keeps coming up to comfort me. And those of you are the ones who comfort me, you do, as you point me closer to God's suffering love. You encourage me along the way. Christ keeps showing up in people that are of a different culture than mine, who speak a different language other than English. Christ keeps showing up in those who are differently abled than I am. Christ keeps revealing himself in those that society marginalizes, those who help me see the world in a broader, more inclusive light. And as I try to follow Jesus, I don't always get it. Most times I don't. Yet I've come to sense more and more, yes, this being a Christian, this following Jesus, it's really something. And we don't have to know what we're getting into. That's the beauty of it. All we have to do is let go and let God and follow the one who knows the way, the one who is the way and the truth and the life. And it's not as hard as we might think. We just need to take one step at a time. Christ, you see, keeps searching for us. And always starts where we already are. So take a deep breath, my friends, and follow Jesus.
Confidence that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray. Let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Jesus, you meet us exactly where we are. And you are fully aware of our lives, our environments, our communities, our nation, our world. You call to us. You empower us to follow you. We pray, Lord, for the courage to say yes and the willingness to let you work in our lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And Jesus, you invite us into a sacred friendship with you. We thank you, Lord, that this is a friendship in which we can trust you implicitly and that you know our future, what is good for us, and you love us and promise to care for us. Help us, Lord, to invest and trust and lean deeply into this friendship with you. Lord, in your mercy. And Jesus, because you love us, we come before you now, where we are today. And we ask for your help with our lives, our loved ones, our situations that need your healing, your grace, your touch, your hope. These we pray for now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we pray your blessing on our bishops, Elizabeth and Andy, for the leaders of your church everywhere, and for San Marcos Lutheran Church. Guide us, great Lord. Open our ears and our eyes and help us into this great adventure of following you. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. From our older children, we pray. We give you thanks for our family, our friends, for food, for pets, electronics, the world, In-N-Out, and Subway. And gracious Lord, we ask for more peace on earth, for more times with Subway and In-N-Outs and pets. We ask that everyone's needs will be met, and we ask for the end of poverty and homelessness. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And now let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God are for the people of God, and you are the people of God. All are invited to participate. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts of his body and blood strengthen, keep, and unite us now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Go in peace, be the light of Christ. Thanks.